we return to the second chapter of our story, The Shop Around the Corner, starring Margaret Sullivan, James Stewart, Frank Morgan, Oscar Bradley's music, with Frank Tours conducting.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Pryor. I'll take over from here. It was a terrible blow to Martin when he looked in the window of the cafe and discovered the unknown girl he'd been writing to for so many weeks was none other than his fellow clerk, Clara. But it was more of a blow to Clara when, after Martin left, she waited 2 hours and her dream prince didn't show up. She took it hard, poor child. You know how girls are, especially the dreamer type like Clara. Why, I once knew a girl before I was married that... Yes, well, that's another story. Another program. Clara, as I say, took it very hard. She even stayed home from work. She was so upset. Martin felt pretty bad about this, so he decided he ought to call on her, strictly in the line of duty, of course. Incidentally, whenever you hear that particular rapping on that particular door, ladies and gentlemen, that means Mr. Martin is calling on Miss Novak.
Well, good evening, Miss Novak.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Martin. Come in.
How are you, young lady?
I'm all right, Mr. Martin. Sorry I couldn't come to work.
Oh, that's all right. Now, you must take care of yourself.
I'm sure I'll be all right in a day or two.
But that doesn't mean that you should neglect yourself. Now, you see, I feel pretty responsible for the whole thing.
You? Oh, no, Mr. Martin. Oh, no, I think I can relieve your mind. It wasn't your fault at all. No, there's a much bigger reason, unfortunately. A psychological reason. But it's my personal problem, and I'll come out of it. It's just one of those things.
Oh, I'm very sorry. It's really a shame that you have to go through all this. But, of course, so long as it's only psychological.
Only psychological? Mr. Martin, it's true. We're in the same room, but we are not in the same planet.
Miss Novak, although I'm the victim of your remark, I must admire your exquisite way of expressing yourself. You, certainly know how to put a man in his planet.
Yes, come in.
Dear Clara, a special delivery letter has just come for you.
Oh, really? Thank you, Aunt Anna.
I hope it's good news.
Well, Mr. Martin, it certainly was kind of you to drop in, but I don't want to spoil your evening.
Oh, no, it's lots of time. You go right ahead with your letter. Don't pay no attention to me.
Yeah, well, if you don't mind.
Well, it's good news.
Wonderful news, Mr. Martin. You know, if I weren't feeling so wonderful right now, I could be very mad with you.
With me? Why?
Why? Because you really spoiled my date the other night. I wasn't so wrong when I asked you not to sit down at my table. You see, this gentleman did come to the cafe. He looked in the window, saw us together, and he misunderstood.
Oh, you mean he thought you and I were friends?
Yeah, he must have. Listen to what he writes. Tell me, who is this very attractive young man? He's just the type women fall for.
Sorry I caused you so much trouble.
Oh, I'll straighten it out. Let him be a little jealous. We'll hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to be much of a man, this friend of yours. He walks away. He's afraid to come over to the table because another man's
Mr.
sitting there.
Martin, he was not afraid, I can assure you. He's tactful. He's sensitive. He's not the kind of a man who would sit at a table uninvited. Mm. It's difficult to explain a man like him to a man like you. Where you would say black, he would say white. Where you would say ugly, he says beautiful. Mm-hmm. And where you would say old maid, he says, listen, here, eyes that sparkle with fire and mystery. Oh. Vivacious. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. He says I make him think of gypsy music.
Well, I suppose there's nothing left for me to say except that I wish you a very Merry Christmas, both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Well, good night, Miss Novak.
Good night, Mr. Martin.
Well, Clara showed up for work all right and worked like fury. She told everybody, including Martin and me, that she had an engagement for dinner on Christmas Eve, and she was all excited about it. Well, when the shop closed after a record-breaking day before Christmas, only Clara and Martin were left.
Oh, before you go, Miss Novak, you want to see something?
Hmm?
Look, how do you like this gold locket?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, well, why don't you try it on? I'd sort of like to see what it looks like on a girl.
I didn't know you had a girlfriend.
Oh, yes. It's probably not easy for you to imagine that somebody would like a man of my type.
Oh, Mr. Mark, don't let's start all over again. It's Christmas, and I'd like to be friends with you. Listen, you mind if I tell you something?
No.
When I first started to work here, you know, something very strange happened to me. I found myself looking at you again and again. I just couldn't take my eyes off you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All the time I was saying to myself, Clara Novak, what's the matter with you? This Martin is not a particularly attractive man. I hope you don't mind.
No.
And listen, now comes a paradox. I caught myself falling for you.
I can't believe it.
Yes, Mr. Martin. In those first few weeks, well, there were moments when you could have swept me off my feet.
There were?
Yes. Well, you see, really, I was a different girl then. I was rather naive. All my knowledge came from books, and I just read a novel about an actress who, when she wanted to arouse a man's interest, she treated him like a dog.
Oh, that's true. You treated him like a dog, all right.
Yes, but instead of licking my hand, you barked.
Oh, well, that's all forgotten now, isn't it?
Oh, well, and now you go to see your girlfriend. By the way, is it serious?
Yes, very.
We might both be engaged Monday morning.
I think we will.
Oh, I don't want you to misunderstand. In my case, I just say it might happen. You see, he's coming to my house tonight to see me at 8 o'clock.
As a matter of fact, I can tell you that it will happen.
What, how do you know?
We'll go into that.
Mr. Martin, what do you mean it will happen?
Well, I might just as well tell you. He came to see me.
Who?
Well, your fiancé. He came last night. Now, you shouldn't have told him who I am. You see, I spent a very uncomfortable hour. He apparently didn't believe it when you wrote him that I meant nothing to you, you see.
I can't get in my head. Come to see you? Oh, no, that doesn't sound like him at all.
Oh, no, but I straightened everything out. It's all right. Now, don't worry. In a little while, you'll be Mrs. Popkin.
Mrs. Popkin?
Popkin? Wasn't that his name? Popkin? I thought that. That's what he told me.
Oh, Popkin, oh, yes, that's right, Popkin.
And a very nice fellow, very nice. I congratulate you.
Yes, thank you. I think he's a very attractive man, don't you?
Oh, yes. For his type, I would say yes.
Would you really classify him as a definite type?
Absolutely. And don't you try and change him now. Don't put him on a diet.
Would you call him fat?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Now, if I were a girl and had to choose between a young, good-for-nothing with lots of hair and a fine, solid, mature citizen, I'd pick Matthias Popkin every time.
But he has a fine mind, don't you think? Didn't he impress you as being rather witty?
Well, I don't know. He struck me as being sort of depressed. But, of course, it's unfair to judge a man who's out of a job.
Out of a job? Why, he never told me.
Well, it shows you how sensitive he is. But don't worry. Now, he feels that both of you can live very nicely on your salary.
Terrible. Oh, I'm outraged. I never dreamed he was materialistic like this. If you could read his letters, such ideals. Well, I could quote you passages. To love is to be two and yet one. A man
and a woman blended as angels, heaven itself.
How did you know that?
That's by Victor Hugo. He stole that.
Oh, no. I thought I was the inspiration of all those beautiful thoughts. And now I find he was just copying the words out of a book. He probably didn't mean a single one of them.
I'm sorry you feel this way. I hate to think I spoiled your Christmas.
That's all right. I guess I really ought to thank you. Well, I guess I'd better be going.
Oh, Clara, if I'd known in the beginning how you really felt about me, things would have been different. You know what I wish would happen? When your bell rings at 8 o'clock tonight and you open the door, instead of Popkin, I come in.
It's very sweet of you to try to cheer me up. But I think we'd better say goodnight. You have an engagement. Yes, and so have I. And I shouldn't be late. Here yet, and I'll thank you not to joke about it.
Clara, couldn't I take his place?
Please, you're only making it more difficult for me.
Oh, Clara, my darling.
Oh, no, you mustn't put your arms around me.
Dearest, sweetest Clara, I can't stand it any longer. Please, take your key.
Please.
Open post office box 237 and take me out of my envelope.
Really?
And kiss
you
me.
You mustn't. Box 237?
Dear friend.
You. Dear friend.
Oh, my darling.
Mr. Popkin. Dear Mr. Popkin.
Yeah, well, that's about the size of it. Of course, they got married. They're very happy now, those two. And now, if you should ever need some very fine leather goods or anything in the novelty line...
Thank you, Margaret Sullivan, James Stewart, and Frank Morgan for a really grand performance. And thank you, too, Norman Corwin, for your swell radio adaptation. And now... on with
hey,
the
Roger,
show. You know, I...
Roger.
Yeah?
Remember me?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bud. I almost forgot to introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, meet our new Gulf Theater announcer, Bud Heaston.
Say, haven't I seen you in pictures, Bud? Your face familiar.
Well, I have done some work, Jimmy, but I'm usually just the face on the cutting room floor.
Oh, yes. Well, don't fret, young man. We all start that way. I can remember when I first started in pictures. I was, yes, but that's another story. Besides, it's so glamorous I can sell it. Why give it away? So, you want to be an actor? I'm just the man to help you.
Well, gee, that's swell, Mr. Morgan. Right now, however, I'm busy learning to be an authority on gas.
Gas? Well, I know enough about gas to fill a balloon. What?
Well, gasolines, Mr. Morgan. For instance... I've been finding out about the new Gulf gasolines, Good Gulf and Gulf No Knox, and I learned that they've both been stepped up to give you faster pickup, more power, and a sweeter-running, quieter engine. And boy, if you've never tried the new Gulf gasolines, you don't know what you're missing. See if you don't notice a real difference the very first time you step on the accelerator. If you use a regular gasoline, try Good Gulf. If you prefer a premium fuel, try Gulf No Knox, the gasoline that is knock-proof under all normal driving conditions. Remember, you get either one at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc. Drive in and fill up with America's stepped-up gasolines, the new Gulf gasolines.
Next week, the stars of the Gulf Theater are Clark Gable, Ann Southern, and Jeffrey Lynn. What happens to them on a rubber plantation in Indochina is the dramatic story of Red Dust. We hope you'll all be listening for the Gulf Theater next week, starring Clark Gable, Ann Southern, Jeffrey Lynn, Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra, with Frank Tours conducting. Until then, this is Roger Pryor saying goodnight, everybody, for your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer.
Margaret Sullivan is currently working in the Lou Lewin production of Flotsam. James Stewart and Frank Morgan appear through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Jimmy's latest picture is Philadelphia Story, and Frank Morgan will soon be seen in Hullabaloo. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you.